Alyssa. Alyssa was 9 years old. And her mother went into labor. There was no one else to help. Alyssa said, "Mama, you push and I'll catch." And Alyssa said she could tell her mama was scared. But she stood in her place and she caught her little baby sister. And what was interesting about that little story additionally was that Alyssa had watched a little medical show, and they had talked about umbilical cords and how they can get wrapped around a little baby's neck and choke them and not be able to breathe. And Alyssa noticed that the baby, her little baby sister, was purple, and her cord was wrapped around her neck. And so she untied that umbilical cord and got it off the head of her little sister. And of course, her little sister was fine. And I just want to ask you, if you were 9 years old, would that have been you? I'd have run away in fear. I mean, I don't know anything. I'm just a kid, right? But not Alyssa. She stayed where she needed to be. She knew that her mother needed her help, and she stayed there. Well, I have a little text for you this morning, as we're going to talk about Lass and Philip some more. But I want to read to you just several scriptures out of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13, Paul is giving some instructions to Timothy, but he could have been giving all these attention to all of us, these instructions. "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Now, in the first verse I read to you, the Message Bible actually translated it in verse 13 as Paul saying to Timothy, "Timothy, stay at your post." There's our title today. God has given each one of us a post, a place of duty, and we want to stay there. I think about Jesus in John 15, when he said, "Abide in me." What does that mean? It means stay where God puts you. It speaks about your being in Christ and Christ being in you and justification, but sanctification. God has given each of you a race to run. How easy it is to get sidelined, distracted, to be in the penalty box and not continue. The word continue is in these verses that I spoke to you about. God is saying to Timothy, God has given you this responsibility. Stay with it, Timothy. Continue in the place, in the duty, in your post that God has given you. So we come to our little story again about, with that introduction, and I want to be able to show this picture here in a minute. As a matter of fact, we could show it right now. You remember this story about the hare and the tortoise? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. I just want that to be in the background of your mind, okay? But I want to read a little bit more to you from Dr. Keller, our sheep herder, The Test of Faithfulness. He says, "During our working years together, he and Lass, his border collie, who helped him with all his sheep, several problems areas began to appear in Lazarus' behavior. In other words, it's not a brand new relationship anymore. A little time, a little dirt under the rug, so to speak, has occurred. It's not last week, it's not last month. Now they've been working in this relationship a little while. And so he, that is Philip, noticed some problems as they journeyed together in trying to take care of the sheep. And so Philip says, it was a matter of wanting me, this was in view at all times. Lass had a passionate fixation on being with me and in action beside me. This intense loyalty contributed enormously to her prompt obedience and enabled her to react to my hand signals, which is much more difficult than voice signals. So it can be understood, here we go, why the one command which Lass found most difficult to carry out was to stay. This word meant for her to remain steady where she was placed. Philip went on to say that when you're a sheep herder, you got a lot of work to do. You're moving sheep from one pasture to the other. And another thing you're doing is you're always sorting out ewes and lambs and rams, and only with the eager assistance of your wonderful dog, your sheepdog, can these operations be carried out efficiently. So at times, Philip asked Lass to guard an open gate. At times, she might be expected to hold a small band of ewes in a corner while I checked their lambs. Lass often felt she was missing out, though, on the action in these situations. If I disappeared from her view, she was sure she had been forgotten. She would become uneasy, begin to move about, and take off in search of me. Philip said, when I found her in these situations as her master, I was very disappointed. Now, this made Philip think about his own life and his relationship with God. What a lesson. I mean, there's a ton of stuff there, isn't there? We could camp out there for several weeks. You know, when you first get saved, everything is brand new. Everybody loves you. And then as time wears on, things change. Sometimes obstacles. Sometimes goals get blocked. Sometimes sickness comes in. It's just not new like it was. And when you just got saved, when you get saved, then in those initial days and weeks and even a year or two, maybe 3 years, maybe 4 years, maybe you really feel the closeness of God. But I assure you, hang around long enough and you will not feel that closeness. Something will happen in your life. And sometimes you'll actually feel like God has forgotten you. You'll wonder, where did God go? Did I do something wrong? Was he upset with me? Why do I not feel that closeness of God like I used to? Isn't it interesting how when we grow up, in life, it also parallels, not just the sheep and the sheep herder, but just life and growing up parallels the Christian life. Because with a baby, we have to give so much attention to a baby. A baby needs everything. And what does a baby want to do? When, you know, they grow up, you know, and they get a little bit older, And then they start coming to church with their family. And then what happens? Mom and dad, they'll go to Bible study. And what do they do with little Johnny or little Susie? They'll want to drop them off there at the nursery. But little Susie and little Johnny is used to being next to mama. That's the one place they feel so secure and safe. And the last thing they want to do is be separated from their mother. But the time comes in everyone's life when we see that separation become a reality and something that's needful for us to grow up into adolescence and eventually adults. Did you know God works the same way? You see, when we first become saved, He's just right there. He just wants us to know that He loves us and He cares about us, but God wants us to grow up. And what does He want us to grow up in? Faith. You see, God wants to get us to a place, there's that place again, that post, where we trust Him. Not because we can see Him, and not because we can even feel Him. He wants to get us to a place where it doesn't matter whether we can feel Him or see Him or not. We're trusting Him by faith. We know that He has a perfect plan with perfect timing in our life. Even though our plans go awry, even though our goals are blocked, even though I may not be as healthy as Joe over here, but God has a perfect plan, and so I'm going to stay where God put me. I know even though I don't feel Him, He has not forgotten me. Nothing has changed in our relationships, even though I can't turn around the corner and see Him. And for last, this was a real problem. She wanted to be so close to her master. It gave her such joy. And when the master sent Lass away where she couldn't, you know, just like really be close, she couldn't see what, and she's maybe missing some of the action. Oh, it was just more than she could take sometimes. And she bolted towards her master. And in so doing, she left the work that her master gave her, which disappointed her master. Now, Philip is thinking about all this, and he admitted that he really asked God, "Why, God, do you have me taking care of a bunch of sheep? I'm missing all the action. I mean, I'm not out there, you know, doing great things, great and mighty things, building your, and you got me here taking care of these sheep. Nobody cares about these sheep but me, these smelly sheep." And he sensed that there was some ingratitude there, and that he really didn't tune in to the plan of God in his life. He really didn't understand that this was his post. This is where God put him. It took Lass. It took a border collie. And he began to understand, obviously, a little bit later on, much more so, but even now, these seeds are being planted. Oh, God has a great work He's doing in your life as you're shepherding these sheep. And see, we get to thinking about that sometimes, don't we? We get to thinking that it's what we're doing is mundane, every day, no one's really noticing it, so what's the point? What's the difference? God doesn't really, He's forgotten. It's just stale. And we tend to want to drift away. As the author of Hebrews told the saints there, don't drift away from the will of God. Now, God wants us to stay in whatever place that he's put us in, and understanding that he has a plan for our lives. He's not saying you have to understand everything that is in his plan. I'm never going to understand all of that until I die and go to heaven. Abraham didn't understand all of that when God said, I'm going to give you a son, even though your body is good as dead. He didn't know how all that was going to work out. He just knew that he was going to trust God. And this trusting, I want to say to you today, as Paul is saying to Timothy, is not about the spectacular. It's about being steadfast. It's about trusting God through the mundane, through the everyday, through all the little stuff, all the little trivia that God gives you. It's really like the race of the hare and the rabbit, the hare and the tortoise. Remember the rabbit? He took off like a rocket. He said, see you, buddy. But the tortoise said, well, we'll see. And the tortoise just strolled and strolled and strolled. But the hare, he was going so fast that he got tired. And what did he do? He took a nap. And by the time he woke up, the tortoise was crossing the finish line. For us as believers, it's about being steadfast, taking it one day at a time. See, for many Christians, they're like, well, I'll trust the Lord, or I'll serve the Lord as long as I can feel him, as long as I can see him, as long as other people are watching me, as long as I have my seat in the synagogue. Remember the Pharisees? As long as they don't take that away from me. As long as they're entertaining me at church or in the culture of the community of church, God wants us to grow through that. And that takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight. I'm learning more now, 40 years later, 40-something years later, than I've learned in years. I mean, God is teaching me so much. It's taken time. I feel like I have some season in my faith because of the time that God, I've allowed God to work in my life. It's a steadfast. It's slow. It's not in a hurry. It's not about the spectacular stuff. God wants us to stay at our post. Now, you have to, you know, put that in context. There's a guy up here. We got a picture of him. If you want to put him up there, you know who this guy is? This guy worked for the Japanese Army in World War II. This picture is taken in 1974, I think it is. He stayed on his post for 30 years? 30 years, he didn't leave his post. They had to find a guy that was originally in his company that he knew that was in Japan. They had to get him and fly him down to the Philippines, take him up there in the jungle, and that guy had to say, hey, the war is over. And he finally believed him, and so there he is walking out of the jungle for the first time since World War II in 1974. Now, that's taking it to an extreme a little bit, staying at your post. We want this in perspective for us, this idea of staying at our post. Now, the problem is, like for Lass is, he's working on it and his master's helping him. But every spring, the black ravens showed up and they loved to torment Lass. And Philip said they were like dive bombers. And they would dive bomb just above his head and just drive him crazy. But Lass's job was to stay. So the temptation was to go. So there were times when Lass just flat couldn't take it anymore, and he would chase those birds all across the pasture, jumping up 5 feet in the air, trying to snap at them and trying to catch them. And Philip is saying, you know, it was an interesting thing to watch. He said, but the problem was, by the time that Lass got back to where he should have stayed in the first place, he was flat worn out. And so not only did he leave his responsibility, by the time he got back, he didn't have any energy to carry on the responsibility that he left in the first place. And Philip said, boy, this is the way it is in the Christian life. This is the way it was in his life. These little temptations that swoop down and seek to take us off the trail, to take us off the race, to take us off the path in following the Lord. Sometimes those little thoughts, those little ravens that come down are thinking that God doesn't remember you anymore because somehow you got really hurt. Somehow God took your mother or your father or someone else in your family prematurely in your perspective. Sometimes things didn't work out the way you had planned, and you got hurt. And you think to yourself, God just doesn't care. Where was God? That's a pretty normal feeling. I think we've all had some taint of that kind of feeling before. You know, someone else had that feeling. You'd never guess who it was. On the cross. Psalm 22 and verse 1. Jesus quoted that verse. You remember that verse? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, it was at that moment when all of the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, were placed upon our Lord. And even though he had never sinned before, now he became sin. And so God the Father had to turn his back. He had to turn away from his Son. He couldn't look upon his Son at that moment. And Jesus felt the separation. And in his humanity, it hurt. It hurt. We have all these kinds of hurts too. And these hurts are like ravens. They seek to take us away from where God put us. I thought about Noah. Wow, talk about steadfast faithfulness. Do you realize, or do you know, how many years it took Noah to build the ark? It took him more than 100 years to fulfill one command that God had given him. You see, that's steadfast. Every day over there, sawing gopher wood. Sawing and putting pitch and designing and working on it for this day that was coming. Surely there were days when he didn't feel like it, when he was tired, you know, when he didn't feel like God was close by, or what are we doing? We're not, I don't really know. You know, I've never even, you know, maybe seen rain before since the rainbow hadn't occurred. Steadfast faithfulness. Here's what we got to do. The tortoise wins the race. Today. Lord, I'm trusting you. I don't understand all of your plan. I may have this health issue. My spouse may have this issue. I got a great example. I was watching the inauguration ball on PBS. PBS, they didn't have any commentary, so you could just watch one of the balls. And in one of the balls, they had the piano guys that were giving one of the performances. Did anybody see the piano guys? Carter, you saw them? It was five guys, and they were all around the piano playing it. So you had one guy on the keyboard and the other guys are picking the strings around the piano inside it. I've never seen that before in my life. It was incredible. So that was the first song. But then they did the second song and three of the guys left and one of the guys stayed on the piano and another guy came and he had the cello. And he was sitting down in his chair and he was fixing to play the cello, but he told a little story before he did. And he said, you know, he said, we all have our heroes. And he said, here's my hero. My hero is my dad. My dad, he said, raised 5 kids. And he took care of my mother for 18 years while she had a brain tumor. He's my hero. You know what that is? That's staying at your post. God has given us a post in our marriage. God has given us a post in being a father and being a mother and being a teenager and being a young adult and being a leader in the church. And being a leader in the community. God has given us a post wherever we work, wherever we go to school, not to let the ravens take us off, not to deviate from the plan, not to get on the sidelines, not to be on the penalty box, but to stay each day steadfast, trusting the Lord, even though we don't understand all that's going on. God wants us to stay there. So each day, we take it one day at a time. And here's our prayer as we close. For all your losses and for all your hurts, here's my suggestion. Thank God for them. Thank you, Lord. Bow with me as we pray about it. Your hurt, your pain, your loss, your difficulty, your lack of understanding, Lord, thank you. I trust you today. I don't have to feel whether or not you're close to me or not. I trust you. I don't have to be able to see you around the corner. I trust you. You have given me a responsibility. You have given me a duty, a post. I choose to stay today. And each day, we want to pray that prayer. And Lord, I'll need your help, your grace to do this. And I petition you to help me so that I won't fall asleep like the hare on the side of the road. But someday you'll help me finish the cross line, the finish line, like the tortoise.